Psalm 61 and verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. Here it is. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And just add two more verses to it. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. Selah is part of the inspired text. What that word means is stop for a moment and think about what you just read. That's what that word means. Pause. Stop. Camp on it. Think about the depth of the words that you've just read and just came across. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David perhaps uttered these words because of the episode that he was going through in his life. We heard something a little bit about that this morning from Psalm 34 about another episode. When he was captured by the Philistines, he feigned himself to be mad, and it says he went over to the wall and he began to scribble on the wall and let spittle fall from his mouth and acted like a madman. It was what we might call a possum, right? It's the playing in a different way. And so David really, technically, was having a lapse of faith. He wasn't really trusting in the living God. He was trusting in his own ideas and his own schemes of how he can get out of the pickle or difficulty that he was in at the moment. There are times that you and I go through difficult times and circumstances in our lives and we really don't know what to do. And so like Jacob, the patriarch Jacob, when he heard that his brother Esau was coming in his direction, Genesis 32, he began to structure an exit plan, a strategy of his own wisdom and of his own thinking to try to get out of that mess. And of course, like a lot of us do, we put the plan together and then we ask the Lord to bless it. Now that sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? But really, it's not very spiritual when we go by our own wisdom and by our own ideas and our own schemes, and then we ask the Lord to bless. A lot of us do that. Even the unsaved world can go and do that. They can plan out their whole lives and say, God, bless my efforts and my plans. But really, the best order is to pray first and ask guidance of the Lord. And then let Him lead us and guide us. And that episode in David's experience was a tremendous episode, but it was a little bit of a step down. Fortunately, God rescued him out of that situation. In Psalm 34, which is what that talks about, he says, I call unto the Lord. This poor man cried out, and the Lord delivered him from all his fears. It was a testimony of God's faithfulness, even in the midst of unfaithfulness in the life of David. But here in this situation, we have something completely different. The backdrop to this is found in 2 Samuel chapter 15, and it's an interesting account to read. But it's about the conspiracy by his own son, Absalom. David had a lot of sons and daughters, and one of them was Absalom. And David, it says, was a handsome man. And his son, Absalom, was extremely handsome. I mean, in these days, the movie industry would have seized on this guy. I mean, he had a full head of hair, it says in a previous chapter. And when he cut his hair, it was so heavy because it was so thick. And he was very, very handsome, very attractive. And he used that to his advantage, Absalom. And it says in the next chapter, in the beginning of chapter 15, it says that he chose for himself 50 men. He was well-resourced. He got a lot of materials together. And he fomented a conspiracy against his own father, David. So much so that he would sit, Absalom would sit at the gate, it says in that chapter, and he would listen carefully to the complaints of the people of Jerusalem. And then he would play off of that. And he would say, you know, if I were deputy of the land, I would give exactly what you want. I would rule in favor of you. He was just smoozing up, as we say, to the people. Just giving them what they wanted to hear. And in that way, it says, he stole all the hearts of the men of Israel. It's a picture, incidentally, of what Satan does in the world today. He gives people kind of what they want. Not because he knows the inner hearts of people. He's not omniscient like God is. But he can observe things. And he can see these things take place. And so he caused the rebellion in the city of Jerusalem. And he had the nation go against his own father, David. It's an amazing account when you read about it. This is probably the backdrop here of Psalm 61. David, going through this, couldn't understand. He was being betrayed by his own family members. He was being betrayed by a counselor, his own counselor, called Ahithophel. Ahithophel, it says, when he spoke and counseled, it was like the oracles of God against the counsel that he gave. But this time he spoke against David. Can you imagine that? Let me just lay the scenario out for you. Just say you had a very, very close friend. You did a lot of things together. You spent a lot of time, a lot of hours together in happy fellowship, traveling together maybe, or spending a lot of times with the people that you really care for. And then somewhere along the line, you were betrayed. Have you ever had that experience? I've had that experience. Hours on end, telling somebody, teaching somebody about Bible study or different points of Scripture. And then somewhere down the road, something changed. And you feel betrayed. Well, that's how it was for David. And that was somebody from with his own family. Not just some neighbor that he could just blow off or brush off. This was somebody within his own household, Absalom. And so David didn't know what to do, really. But he knew one place to go. The Lord. That's what we've been singing about this morning. In all those hymns, there's a thread of that truth in every song. That's what forced me or caused me to change my message this morning. This is what David is saying right here. He says in Psalm 61, verse 1, he says, "Hear my cry, O God." Now this was a psalm that was given to the chief musician. In the next Psalm 62, it's identified who that person is, Jeduthun. He was a fellow who was in charge of the singers. And this was meant to be a blessing to God's people. He says, "Hear my cry, O God." There is a problem here. When you have a problem, where do you go? What do you do? Do you complain to local friends, family members? Do you spout off? Do you do those things? Or do you take the matter to the Lord? Well, David here knew what he needed to do. Years ago, there used to be a commercial by Rolaids. You know, some of these commercials, you know, I'm sure when I'm long further ahead in the year that the Lord doesn't come in life, I'll still sing some of these commercials that I heard as a kid. There's something how those jingles just got to stay with you. And that commercial, I remember, how do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids. I should have bought stock in it a long time ago. That's how you spell relief. That's how we often try to find relief. We try to find it through different means. But here David is giving us the path to peace that every one of us so desperately need. They took a poll of different people and they said, a large sampling, they said, what is the thing that you want most in life? Was it money? Was it a cabin in the mountains? Was it a yacht? Was it at a shore home? Whatever. None of those things even registered. What was it? Peace. Peace is the most desired thing to have. So here David was being rattled. His family was coming against him. The whole conspiracy was growing stronger, it says in that passage, that account that is the backdrop to this. His trusted counselor had betrayed him. All his friends were betraying him. Except for a small minority of people who are willing to follow him across the Brook Kidron. Time won't let me do it now, but it's interesting. If you were to look at that account, you would see that the path that David took with his little band of disciples was exactly the path that the Lord Jesus took with his little band of disciples on the night he was betrayed. There is no mistake that the Scripture brings these things out. The parallels in the Old Testament with those of the New speak of the person and work of Christ. The company, the minority, was a minority that went with David and crossed over the Brook Kidron. And it was a minority that followed the Lord Jesus over the Brook Kidron. John chapter 15, you can read about it. They sang a hymn and they went out and they were going out and he was going out. The Lord Jesus was in his rejection. David was going out in his rejection as well. He was betrayed. He was confused. He was bewildered. And so he says, "Hear my cry, O God." He says, "From the end of the earth, I will cry to you." When we're in our extremity, when we're in our need, when we're in our distress and disappointments and discouragements, everything that characterizes life as it is even now, You know, I couldn't help but think as Joyce was singing that song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow, and all those different things that are part of that hymn. This was running through my mind as we were singing that. From the end of the earth will I cry to you. David here is heralding that commitment that he had to God in prayer. But then he says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David knew the source of his strength. One occasion in David's experience, 1 Samuel chapter 29, 30 and 31, talks about David also having an episode with the Philistines. And David was very successful. He was a tremendous military hero for the nation. And yet he loved the Lord, all those wonderful things. But at one point, again, he lapsed. This is another different lapse. Just shows you that we're not all perfect. We all have problems one way or another, seen or unseen. And so he went out and he sided with the Philistines and played as if he was in favor of them. While he was out there in that lapse, another group called the Amalekites came into the camp at a place called Ziklag. And there they plundered the camp. They took the women, they took the kids, they took all the possessions of David. And they ransacked that camp and they went out of town. Now when David came back from being with the Philistines, he came back and he found the smoldering remains of the camp there at Ziklag. And he broke down and wept. And it says all the people broke down and wept as well. And it says they wept so much they had no more power to weep. Can you imagine that? There are those who have gone through deep wells or deep valleys of experience who perhaps have wept too, that they had no more power to weep. And that was the case with David. Well, that weeping then turned into anger, because the people then spoke about stoning David. They said, if we weren't with you, we would not have this situation happen in our lives. And so they spoke of killing David, their own leader. And then again, David was bewildered. What did he do in that experience? It says very clearly that David strengthened himself in the Lord. He said, I have nothing else going for me. I have no resources at all. And so what he did is he went and spent that private time with the Lord. And as a result of spending time with God, he came away a different person. He was revived in his heart, strengthened in his resolve. And he went back and he rallied his men. And they went back and they plundered the Philistines. They chased them down, went after them, got everything back, their wives and their children, all those possessions. And nothing, it says, was lost. You see, that's what happens when we find our help and our strength in the Lord. When we take those times out, even in the midst of difficulties, when it seems like trials and tribulations are so overwhelming, like a wave that's ready to knock you down, to say, Lord, I commit myself to you and I come to you. And no matter where it is, whatever my situation is, even from the end of the earth, I will cry to you. And so when my heart is overwhelmed, it's easy to be overwhelmed these days, finances, problems in family, health issues, on and on and on we go. Just the result of the fallen nature that we have. Because of the fall, we have sin in this world. Everything to overwhelm us, circumstances and everything else. It is a prayer of David here to lead him to the rock that is higher than I. He's calling God the rock. It's not the first time he's called the rock. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, Moses said, God is our rock. He's the rock of our salvation. Now that's a nice metaphor for the Lord. What do you think of when you think of a rock? You think of stability, something that's permanent, something that stays, something that doesn't just easily go away. It was Augustus Toplady, the one who wrote that hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. There's a story behind that. He was over in England, in the northern part of England, and a storm was coming along. And he had nowhere to go. But all of a sudden he realized he could get between two slender granite precipices, or whatever you would call them, that went up. And he was able to wiggle his way in between those rocks. And as that storm passed by, he was perfectly dry and he was perfectly protected from the thunder and the lightning. And it caused him to come up with his words. He says, oh, I'm hidden in the rock. What a wonderful feeling there is. The sense of peace and stability, that nothing will happen to me, that I'm under someone else's control or something else to control the situation. It was these rocks. And then he penned those words. He went back home. He had it in his mind. He went back home. He penned those words. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. The protection that there is with the Lord. The alternative, of course, to all this is that we go try to fix things in our own wisdom, in our own strength. Try to manipulate situations like Jacob did in that passage in Genesis 32. But notice what David goes on to say here in verses 3 and 4. He says, you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And so he gives four metaphors about the Lord. He says, you're a shelter for me, in your tower, in your tabernacle, and I go underneath your wings. All of these have some tremendous applications for us. Shelter, of course, what we were just talking about. The tower, your strong tower from the enemy. There's a verse found in the book of Proverbs, I think it's chapter 18. It says, the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run in and are safe. You know, in the cities in ancient days, when the enemies would attack the nation, it's kind of not like it is in what we think. We think of a city that's fortressed as having walls all around it and the houses within. That's not how it was in ancient days. In ancient days, the city was just a small little unit, and houses were all on the outside. And when an enemy would come, the people would flee their homes and run inside the city gates, and then the gates were closed, and then they were protected. So the righteous run in and are safe. And it's a reminder to us that as the wind and the waves come across our experience and our personal lives, there is a greater resolve, or should be a greater resolve, to make sure that we run to the Lord for help and for His wisdom. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David acknowledged the fact that in and of himself, he was not able to conquer the problems. That's one thing we learn in life, don't we? Problems, many times, are way greater than we can handle. We can't put our hands around it. We'd love to snap our fingers and have those things go away. We'd love to have this health issue taken care of. We'd like to have this circumstance. We would like to see our sons and daughters, whatever, move on in the things of the Lord. And we say, oh, this is my desire for this to happen. But we can't have it happen as much as we'd want to. We'd love to get in somebody's head and rewire them and say, oh, they were working perfectly now. It doesn't happen that way. What happens, though, is this dependency, a sense of dependency and reliance upon the Lord, and calling out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I need your help in this matter. This is far greater than I can handle. If you can't do it, God, no one can do it. That's really the admission. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Don't let my feet go over in other places. Don't let me look for the world's satisfaction. Don't let me try to cover up this in escapism or in some activity or event that will just simply mask the true reality of the situation. God, help me along to help this, get help for this with your help. Romans chapter 8 tells it very clearly. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. One time I was hearing a preacher speak on this matter. And he talked about the son who was basically didn't work at all, didn't want to work, didn't want to earn a living. And the parent was very frustrated. When's this going to take place that this kid's going to finally get serious about life? And so the parent was thinking what to do and how to take care of it. And they said, well, the best way to handle this right here is just say, well, listen, if we don't eat, we're going to die. So, and that's not the bad thing. If we die, then we can go to be with the Lord. So maybe we just won't have money that way, and we'll just die and go to be with the Lord. And they try to look, have a little positive spin. I'm not sure I can explain that the best way. But the point of the matter is this, is that we cast ourselves upon the Lord and have Him help us out through all our difficulties. Now, when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee in Matthew chapter 14, they were out in the middle of the sea, out in the middle of Galilee. And the Lord at that episode was up on the mountain. He was praying for His disciples. It's a great picture of the current ministry of Christ for us, His intercessory work for believers. And as the disciples were going across the Sea of Galilee, they were in the boat, and it says the wind and the waves kicked up. And as they did, the disciples were frightened. They were in the midst of the sea. They were experienced fishermen. They knew all the aspects of proper sailing and maritime abilities. But it was bigger than they could handle. Just like many of you are going through situations that are bigger than you can handle. It's always interesting when I can speak at my own meeting, and I know the background of many people in this assembly. When I go to different places, I don't know those situations. I remember one time, just as a tangent here, preaching, and I opened up the scriptures, and I began preaching, and I may know like 3 or 4 or 5 people in that meeting. I began preaching the Word of God, and in the back row, I could see tears flowing from somebody, wiping their tears. And I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was something else. Sometimes a preacher has to deal with distractions, you know, some other drama is being played out while you're preaching and you're not even connected with it, but not this time. When I got off the platform, a person said, "You don't realize what you said this evening, this morning." And I said, "I guess not." Well, later that day, I got a phone call from another person in the meeting. They said, "You didn't realize, but when you said this verse and that verse and that verse, that applied to this situation, and no one in the meeting even knew anything about it. It was as if you knew exactly the situation." Well, I can't take credit for that. That's why a preacher on the platform can never take credit for these things if they're preaching from the Word of God. No personal glory for that. That's the Lord speaking to the heart. The Lord addressing that situation through the ministry of the Word. That's the reason why we need to be under the sound of God's Word and this Word to be opened up. Because it says the issues, keep your heart with all diligence, it says in Proverbs, for out of it are the issues of life. If you really want to deal with the issues of life and get answers for them, you find it right here. What happens when God leads you in response to your prayer to the rock that is higher than you? What do you find when you get to that rock of our salvation, which is God? Well, you find this. You find the promises of His Word that are ever true. Jacob was told that at Bethel. God said to him after he had that vision, Jacob had that vision of the angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. The voice of God spoke out and says, "Jacob, I'll be with you wherever you're going. I'll bring you back to this place." He in essence said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And that promise was true. Even though Jacob squandered a lot of time, even though he was involved in making money and building his family and building his resources and all those things, God was still faithful to him. And he acknowledged it. He said, "God was faithful, brought me back to Bethel." Bethel was the place where he first met God. God was faithful to him all the time. And God is faithful to you all the time as well. When we go to the rock that is higher than I, we find out the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to His Word. Joe, I'll never forget your testimony back Memorial Day weekend a year ago. I go around telling that story all over the place. And Joe's story was this. And I think, Joe, you said you never told that until you told it from this platform. Joe was in World War II along with a bunch of people here in this meeting. And Joe, if I got the story right, you saw a torpedo coming from someplace, from the enemy ship, coming toward the boat. And in the last moment, split second, am I right? A swell came up and lifted that boat up, and the torpedo went underneath. 1 second later, 1 second sooner, Joe would not be here telling you that story. That's God in the everyday. That's saying, "God, you are at work in this situation." I heard an interesting account just last week. There was a young mother who had her child in a carriage. And she was beginning to walk across the road. There was no cars in either direction. And she began to go across the road. Somebody from a distance away was watching this woman, just happened to be watching. And as she walked across the road, all of a sudden, the wind gust lifted up her scarf and threw it across her eyes. That momentary event that took place stopped her in her tracks. Good thing, because a truck was barreling around the corner And if it had not been for the fact that she hesitated, she would have been in that middle of that street and that truck would have struck her dead. It's God in the everyday. God leading us along. And here David is asking God to lead him to the rock that is higher on. You find out in that rock, you find the faithfulness of God. You find the permanence of our salvation. You find the deeper things in life, the things that really matter. Psalm 25 tells us this: the secret of the Lord is with them that know Him. And so God gives us the understanding, the perspective of life that we need to help us in our troubles. Personal trials, public events. Bob, you gave a great word of testimony saying what's in store for Christian radio stations and for local churches with government legislation as big government bears down. That's something we talked about last month from Daniel chapter 3. When the government says this is what you do or else, will Christians fold and waffle, or will they say we're going to be faithful to the Lord? Not unkind, not in any way compromising, but still speaking for the Lord. When we go to the rock that is higher than I, we find a God who is faithful, who is caring, who encourages us and strengthens us for the task at hand. And so David said here, "You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever." That's equivalent to saying, "I am with you forever." There's a great verse, and then the trust in the shelter of your wings. There's a great verse. Just turn to it for a moment as we finish up. In Psalm 91, one of those great psalms. You know, there's all the psalms are good. Every word of God is proven. We know that to be the case. It's worth studying. Every aspect of God's word is worth studying. But you know, there are certain psalms that leap out of the pages and just speak to your heart. And this one, Psalm 91, is it. It says here, again, now this is probably Moses who wrote this. He wrote Psalm 90. That's a psalm of Moses, Psalm 90. But probably, most scholars say, Moses wrote this one as well. And he says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, or for the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." On and on we could read about these wonderful verses. The situations in life for someone who lived in these days is no different than the situation that we have in our lives as well. Yes, we have internet and planes and all this technology. It makes it different than it might have been 1,000 years ago. But the core elements of fear and worry and doubt and all those things that rattle us and cause us to worry and be overwhelmed, they were the same then as they are now. And the question is, how do you deal with this? Are you going to be overwhelmed and stay overwhelmed? Or are you going to look to the Lord, who is the rock that is higher than I? That's the challenge that all of us have. I remember hearing the story of Brother Boyd Nicholson. Some of you remember the ministry of Boyd Nicholson. I heard him personally tell the story. He was in Canada and served in the Royal Air Force or whatever it's called up in Canada. And he was overseas and he was in a desert place. And as he lay down in his tent in the desert, his heart was overwhelmed. The area was notorious for having a certain type of individual, forget the name of it, of that individual, but they would come in and slip into someone's tent and slice their throat in their sleep. And it was rampant in a certain area. And he was overwhelmed with fear, saying, "Will I even wake up in the morning?" And so I remember him telling this story. He said, "After I realized, you know, if I didn't turn it over to the Lord, I would just die of fright right there." And so he prayed and he committed his life to the Lord. He said, "Lord, you alone are my strength." And so he went to sleep that night and got a full night's sleep. And he says, "Lord, I know that you can care for me. You can care for other things, as the scripture says, you can care for me." and he got that night's sleep that he so desperately needed. When you're going through difficulties, trials, problems, whether it's in your own life or whether it's extended family or health or whatever it may be, what is your response? It should be like David here did. He was about to unravel when his own son conspired against him, and yet he called out to the Lord. He says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." God has given us that opportunity as well. We trust that that will be the case for you as well. Great, let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we have indeed been blessed by your presence this morning. Father, reminding us again of your faithfulness, despite the rampant problems that exist in our culture and in our world today, things seemingly falling apart, maybe outwardly, from our nation's standpoint, perhaps inwardly, in our own lives. Lord, we pray this prayer that David prayed. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Father, we thank you that we have a refuge, a shelter, the God of the whole universe, who is so interested intimately in every detail of our lives, that we can say we will hide under the shelter of your wings. We thank you, Father, that you are that type of God that has that love for each of their own. We pray, Lord, that if there are any who have never bowed the knee and the heart to the Lord Jesus, that today will be their spiritual birthday. We thank you again for your grace to us, your love for us, wherever we go. We'll give you praise and be quick to do that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Amen.